Welcome back to the Tennessee Holler. I am Justin, tnholler.com. At the TN Holler, we also have hollers hollering all across the state. Thanks to your support, we really do appreciate it. A few bucks monthly goes a long way. Shout out to Abby Rubenfeld. If you need a lawyer, she is good people and supports us. And if you need a house, Elisa Parker. If you need some jewelry, AJ Martin in Nashville. All right. It's been a while since I've been on here, mainly because when session is in session, it's hard for me to do this. I'm running a million miles an hour to keep up with the nonsense at the State House. And today we have somebody with us who wants to go become a part of that nonsense at the State House, Noah Nordstrom. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you doing?
I'm good. So Noah, tell us real quick, where are you running for State House?
So I'm running in District 83, which is parts of East Memphis, starting at St. Francis Hospital by the interstate, follows Poplar all the way into Germantown, and it catches a little bit of Cordova too.
You are running against Mark White, who folks should know is one of the sponsors of the private school voucher scam, as we like to call it around here. Noah, what made you want to get into this, and what do you do?
Well, what made me want to get into this is exactly that. So like I said, I'm a teacher here. I teach at Overton High School. It's not just where I teach. It's across the state and across this district. Our schools have been underfunded by the state. I found myself in the fall semester not having textbooks, having kids passing out in class because of broken AC, mold, roaches. I could go on and on about the amount of dysfunction and the lack of resources that we've been given as educators to do our jobs. But it's such a stressful situation. And then when you find out that your state representative is actually pushing to defund public schools in the midst of an already chaotic environment because of lack of funds, I was enraged, really. So I started asking around, you know, who's going to step up? Who's going to run for the second term in a row? He was going to go unchallenged. And so I said, well, if no one's going to do it, I'm going to step up because my students deserve better. And the status quo is unacceptable.
Back up what Noah's saying here. There's an NEA study that just came out. Tennessee is number 44 in teacher pay and number 45 in per pupil spending. So when Governor Lee and the Republicans say, oh, we're already fully funding our schools, we've put a lot of money into our schools, they are lying and gaslighting people, right, Noah? And that's something that you see firsthand every day?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to say, oh, we just gave Shelby County more money, or, you know, we're doing great. Tennessee is on its way to being at the top, is what the commissioner of education said when she came to Memphis. And it's just a lie. Tennessee is not on its way to being at the top. We're on our way to being at the bottom, not just in investment in our schools, but also in teacher pay, consistently ranking at the bottom of the list. And we know what it takes to actually have good functional schools. It takes good teacher pay, it takes resourcing, it takes actually having curriculum support for teachers, right? And not just expecting them to essentially design their own courses. So much I could get into with the details. The lack of resourcing, the lack of preparation is astounding. For them to go around lying and saying, oh, we're fully funding our schools, well, it's just not going to fly because we're seeing that that's not true.
It's important to keep in mind the voucher scheme was beaten back, honestly, in an incredible fight. You know, I really thought it was going to pass and it didn't. And it was because the people stood up. By the end of it, we were told that only 22 Republicans were going to support it in the House by the end of it. That's because the people pushed back. Resolutions were passed all across the state, even in conservative areas, against the voucher scam. But Governor Lee has already said he will be bringing the voucher scam back. So here your district has a chance to send somebody to the House that will stand against it, as opposed to Rep. Mark White, who will carry it and sponsor it. One other thing I wanted to ask you about, Republicans pushed arming teachers. People wanted to see gun safety laws, but what they ended up doing was passing this arming teachers bill. Knoxville, Clarksville, the Tri-Cities, Nashville, Memphis have come out against. What's your take on this arming teacher nonsense?
It's absurd. I can tell you as a teacher, that's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard. You know, as a teacher, I've been physically attacked in class before. I've been slapped. You know, big students try to charge at me. And I couldn't imagine having a gun on my belt in a situation like that. One of those things where a kid would try to grab for a gun. And I don't just make up those scenarios. I mean, there was two attempts to get guns into our school this year. And the security team is what stopped it, you know, the security at the door. To be putting guns in our schools when we are already dealing with kids trying to bring guns into schools. Like, I had a coworker whose car was stolen. You know, his keys were taken from classroom and his car was stolen. Of course, these guns would be stolen. And it's just not a smart idea. It's also creating an environment of fear, right? Where you know that any educator may or may not have a firearm on them. It's not the kind of healthy learning environment that we want to be providing for our kids. You know, these kids are already living in a community. They're experiencing gun violence firsthand. Some of them have family members who've been killed, you know, by gun violence, and friends. And, you know, we've had 3 students from my school this year be shot and killed. This is such a present reality everywhere. And to be trying to bring that into our classrooms and be trying to make us less safe in our classrooms is insulting and absurd. And it seems almost like it was a reaction to the vouchers failing, them trying to pass something right there at the last minute, right before the session ended. It's shocking. And honestly, I was shocked that my opponent voted for it. You know, back in the day, my opponent actually used to be a little bit more moderate on certain issues, including guns, voted against repealing permanent carry. He's kind of did a full 180 and he's kind of lining up with his party. And so for people to be putting party allegiance and to be, you know, putting pleasing their donors above the lives of my students and above really my life, my coworkers' lives, is really sad to me. And it's just shows how much we need change.
People are experiencing gun violence, not just in Memphis, but across the state on a regular basis. We're one of the more violent states there is. This 18-year-old pizza delivery driver in Ashland City was shot at 7 times. And then CJ Davis, Police Chief Davis in Memphis, recently said that they're trying to get AR-15s for their police now because they're outmanned and outgunned in the streets. Crime is an issue in Memphis. It's not a new issue. They're trying to lay it at the feet of DA Steve Mulroy. Is this suddenly happened when a progressive DA took over, which is not true at all. When the people that claim to care about crime talk about the issue, they always seem to want to jail their way out of it. They don't ever want to seem to address the root causes of it. What's your take on crime in Memphis and how we can actually get to the bottom of what's going on there?
Well, I think we're going to have to interrupt this system of violence with care. And that's something that we've not seen. You're absolutely right. People think we can incarcerate our way out of this crisis, and we can't. You know, one of the issues that we're seeing, for example, just a few months ago, someone in our local jail turned up dead and covered in bed bugs. There's really unsafe, unsanitary even conditions in our jails here. You know, sending teenagers, that facility is going to fix our problem? It's not. Typically get out pretty quickly if they're able to make that bond. So what I think we actually need to do, especially, and I'm going to focus on the youth end here, because 20% of violent crime happening right now is committed by high school aged students. I think what specifically in that case needs to happen is that we need to have facilities, like actually schools, boarding schools, for us to be able to send these kids and actually get the care they need, instead of just sending them to some sort of incarceration facility where they don't have any resources, where they might be unsafe. Unfortunately, people are turning up dead in our local jails. We need to be focused on rehabilitating those kids, because they're not lost causes. Unfortunately, I think a lot of politicians and a lot of people in general have bought into the idea that we can't do anything about this, that some of these kids and some of these people committing crimes are just lost causes. And I don't think that's true. It's going to take some serious, deep work to get through this and break these cycles of violence. But it's going to start with politicians and elected officials who actually care and are looking to move away from just the tough on crime, incarcerate your way out of the problem, actually identifying what's missing, the needs, helping to rehabilitate those people and making sure that, you know, they're not, you know, a threat to other people in the streets, but they're also getting the care they need to become a better individual, move beyond that behavior.
Right. And if incarceration was the answer, we would be the safest country in the world. I mean, we're the most incarcerated country on the planet, and we're not the safest. It's hard to take these people seriously when they say they care about violent crime, when they're flooding the streets with guns, underfunding public education, refusing to expand Medicaid, and on and on and on. I think you're right. We do need a different way of looking at this. Memphis, the percentage of the budget that goes to police is like second only to Vegas, and it's obviously not the answer. So we need to start thinking upstream as opposed to reacting. And it starts with getting people in office who think that way. So it's good to hear you talk like that. What are some of the other issues that are motivating you to run?
What we're seeing is a large-scale assault on people's rights, or the trigger abortion ban, which prohibits all abortions, even life-saving ones. And people are having to flee the state to get the care they need to, in some cases, survive. You know, we have some of the most anti-LGBT laws in the country. They tried with the drag ban last year, and they're constantly coming after the transgender community. It's a distraction, right? They're underfunding our schools. They're making our state less safe. So what they try to do to distract us is try to divide us up into little segments and try to make us fight each other, try to make us hate each other, and make that the focus rather than what's really happening. It's not just women's rights, not just LGBTQ rights, it's immigrants' rights. And that's something really important to me. As a teacher, almost half my students come from immigrant backgrounds and come from immigrant families. When my opponent and his buddies passed this law about a month ago to force police to work with ICE to ramp up deportations in our state, you know, I had students to me who are not politically engaged at all coming up almost in tears. Colleagues of mine, you know, who work with their families, almost in tears, talking about, you know, what are we going to do? Now they don't even feel safe to come to school because, you know, they may get pulled over on the way to school and get deported and separated from their family. So these laws are just incredibly heartless. It's designed to divide. It's designed to distract. One of my major themes of my campaign is breaking the cycle of divide and conquer politics. You know, I'm not going to let them go after any of our community's rights. The limitation of rights also extends to our cities and our municipalities, especially Memphis and Nashville, right? They're constantly overturning our laws. They don't allow us to make our decisions for ourselves anymore. You know, it's because they want to be in control of what we do, and they don't really believe in democracy, people having autonomy over themselves and their communities. And I think that needs to change.
Spot on. Along the lines of limiting rights, the reason that it's hard to take these guys seriously is they want to jail all these people and incarcerate all these people. Meanwhile, they're all taking money from CoreCivic. Everything they're doing is just steering money into the hands of the people who fund their campaigns. Mm-hmm. It's completely hypocritical and transparent. On that note, President Biden is moving towards changing the status of marijuana classification it has that makes it a harsher penalty and a tougher drug sentencing. But I don't think it's actually going to change anything here in Tennessee because Republicans here have no interest, it seems, in legalizing medical marijuana or marijuana in general. What's your stance on marijuana, which I think is something Democrats should be centering a lot more than they already do, even because, you know, I know Republicans and Democrats who are one issue voters on that in itself.
Yeah, I think the last statistic I saw was something like 70%+ of Tennessee.
At least.
Exactly. And that's a no-brainer to me. Yes, I believe we should be legalizing marijuana, and we should be using the sales from that, the tax money, to invest in our communities, help repair the harms of the war on drugs, because what we've seen over 40 years now is the war on drugs has targeted communities, specifically working class, you know, black and brown communities for the most part, high incarceration rates, wasted a lot of money trying to police marijuana, scientifically proven not to be physically addictive. There's a lot of actual medical benefits. I think the way we do it matters because some states have allowed it to where just they allow a few permits to a few big companies to essentially make this big marijuana industry that only profits a few people. The way we structure it should be set up to where small farmers can actually benefit and we could actually help bring back our rural agricultural economy, introducing a new cash crop.
It's an absolute no-brainer. And actually, there are Republicans in the state house who are for this, even Jeremy Faison, believe it or not, but just not enough of them and not the ones that are in power. To me, this is something that should be centered. An issue of race, criminal justice, agriculture, which is obviously huge here in Tennessee. We need people who are more forward thinking on it. And it's also a health issue. I ran for Congress in 2018 and I had right-wing veterans supporting me because I supported medical marijuana. Mark Green did not. Noah, I appreciate you coming on here. I appreciate you telling us about your campaign. Obviously, Nordstrom for TN is where people can learn more about it. Tell me a little bit more about your campaign and how people can help.
Awesome. Well, there's a lot of ways people can help. You can make a donation, enabling us to be able to hire the staff and buy the materials we need to get out there and get out the vote. We're also doing a lot of volunteer work. So if you're here locally and you're able to do door knocking with us whenever people are available, but we have regular also weekend shifts talking to folks. And we're also doing virtual phone banking, right? So you can call people on your phone. You can do that from anywhere. Launching our text banking campaign here in the next couple of weeks. We can get out here and complain and talk about politics and our opinions, right? But until we get out there and we talk to our neighbors and we build a movement, we're not going to see the change we need. Go to NordstromForTN.com, click the Get Involved tab. Highly appreciate that. Whether or not you're in the district, there's always ways to help. All social media is NordstromForTN, helps get the word out. And, you know, it makes a difference. I'm knocking on doors and people are saying, oh, I saw your Instagram post. Oh, I saw you in the news. That really reaches voters as well.
That's one thing that I wanted to say that you've done a really good job of. All candidates should be getting out there in front of microphones at school board meetings, wherever forums, confronting the people that are in power, but also letting people know that you're there and you're running. And you've been doing a good job of that. We've tried to lift up some of the speeches that you've given and questions you've asked at these forums. So keep doing that. I think it's really important. NordstromForTN.com is where you can find him. He's running against voucher bill sponsor Mark White, who is somebody that frankly needs to be replaced. Good luck to you and keep us posted on your campaign, Noah.
All right, will do. Thank you much.
So I'm glad to see Noah's running. His perspective as a public school teacher, I think, is really an important one to have up there. Check him out at Nordstrom for TN on social media. NordstromForTN.com is his website. And we are going to have more candidates on the holler. And I extend the invitation to Mark White and any Republican running for office. You're welcome to come on here also. We are not only inviting Democrats, but they're just the only ones that accept our invitation. Mark White, if you're out there, love to have you on. That goes for anybody who's running for office in Tennessee. All right, thanks for following the holler. We'll see you next time. Tennessee. Woo! Yeah. Tennessee. To Tennessee.